The BBC presents Life with the Lion. Everyone enjoys the fun of appearing in amateur theatricals. So it's no wonder that when Barbara asked her family to take part in the play she puts on every year for the local drama club, she met with their usual enthusiastic response.
Not on your life.
Count me out.
That goes for me, too.
But why? You've always appeared in my plays before.
Well, there's your answer. Toast, BB?
Oh, thanks, dear.
Well, I'd like to know what's wrong with my productions.
Barbara, let's face it. They're getting so bad. Last year, the audience asked for their money back on the way in.
Oh, you're so funny. But I promised the drama club you'd all be in the play.
Barbara, pass the bacon, will you?
Oh, Mother, we can count on you, can't we, darling?
Oh, I don't know, dear. You must admit those plays of yours get us in some very embarrassing situations.
I can't remember any.
No? How about the time you put on African Jungle and in the middle of the native war dance, the lights went out?
And when they came on again, I was sitting in the audience in my loincloth.
Yes. And in the Lady Maris's lap, too. Pass the bacon, will you, Barbara?
Oh, Daddy, aren't you interested in Shakespeare?
Right now, I'm only interested in bacon.
Oh, all right. But Henry VIII is a wonderful play, and Mother would have been perfect as a young queen.
Ben, could I... What young queen?
Watch it, BB. She's trying to wheedle you.
I'm not trying to wheedle anybody.
Oh, yes, you are. I know a wheedle when I see it.
Yes, Barbara's a past master at wheedle work.
I merely said Mother would be wonderful as Anne Boleyn.
Wait a minute. Ben... Wasn't she the queen who lost her head?
Yes, I must admit you'd be perfect for that part.
Anne Boleyn was only 29 when she died.
Then I'll do it.
Oh, thank you, darling. And Richard, I had you down for the handsome Duke of Buckingham.
Well...
It's a wonderful acting part. You lose your head in the first act.
And what do I do in the rest of the show?
Your head goes round singing, I ain't got nobody.
Daddy, please. Oh, Richard, I'll find another part for you in the second act.
Well, okay. But this time I want to know what I'm wearing.
A beautiful velvet tunic with lace cuffs and long pink tights.
Not on your life.
And the club is giving everybody 30 shillings for expenses.
Where do I get this costume?
Oh, thank you, darling. And now, Daddy, would you like to play the fabulous Henry VIII? Or is there anything you'd like better?
Yes, I'd like the bacon, please.
Well, while you're making up your mind, I'll start thinking about who else we need in the cast.
Well, what about Aggie?
And what about Aggie?
Well, Barbara's putting on Henry VIII, and she wants you to play one of the parts.
Miss Barbara, I want no part of King Henry VIII. Have you forgotten how he crushed the Scots army at Solway Moss in 1542?
I'm afraid I have, Aggie.
Well, I'll never forgive him for it.
Then why don't you appear in the play and take your revenge out on the audience?
Ben, you're being very unkind to Barbara.
But it's so absurd. None of you has ever played Shakespeare.
That's not true. I played the Duke of York and Richard III when I was only 4 years old.
No kidding, Ma.
No kidding. I was one of the little princes in the tower. I broke two lines and a man came up and smothered me.
Are you sure it wasn't someone from the audience? And did you say you spoke two lines or you spoke two lines?
Well, when I was at school, I played in Macbeth.
And when Richard and I were in school, we did Much Ado About Nothing.
That I can believe. Well, I guess I'd better get to the office.
I'll get your briefcase, Mr.
Oh, thanks, Lyon. Aggie.
Well, Ben, it seems you're the only one who hasn't played in Shakespeare.
Baby, when I was in rep, I appeared in dozens of Shakespearean plays.
Then why won't you play in Henry VIII?
Because he's rusty.
Who says I'm rusty?
Oh, nobody here. But you can't fool the public.
No, and we don't want to embarrass you. After all, the BBC are going to broadcast the show.
When do we start the rehearsals?
Oh, that's up to you. You're the producer, too.
All right, I'll accept on one condition.
Just name it.
I want carte blanche.
You're not carting any Blanche into this house.
Okay, I'll get someone else for the part. Barbara, what happened to Henry VIII?
Daddy, I gave you a copy of the play this afternoon.
I know, and I read it. Who had the audacity to condense it and add those extra characters?
Just call me Barty Lyon.
Don't you think it's just a little bit presumptuous to rewrite Shakespeare?
But, Daddy, Shakespeare only wrote a third of the play. I only changed the scenes that were written by his contemporary, John Fletcher.
Only?
Anyone for Shakespeare?
We're in the living room, Aunt Florrie.
Don't tell me she's in the show.
Well, of course she is.
Good morrow to all of you.
And good morrow to all of you.
That's quite enough from you, you hideous old Henry.
Hello, Bibi, darling.
Hello, Florrie.
Barbara, tell me, who am I playing in the show?
Queen Catherine of Aragon, Henry VIII's first wife.
Now I know why he got a divorce.
Well, you're no Marlon Brando yourself.
No, but you are.
Look, if you're going to start arguing, we'll never get anywhere with the play.
I'll get it.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've come to wash Mr. Lyon's bay window.
Well, pull up your shirt, Ben.
No, I've come to wash the window. But if you're busy, I shall return later.
Oh, no, go right on in.
Thank you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Braddock. Come on in the kitchen and I'll get a bucket of water for you.
That's most kind. I also need a few odds and ends. I'll try not to disturb you.
Oh, that's all right.
Barbara, I don't want to play the Duke of Buckingham.
Why not?
Because every time I read my lines, Aggie laughs at me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Master Richard, but it sounded so comical.
Aggie, there is nothing comical about Shakespeare.
Indeed not. He's the greatest writer that ever lived.
Maybe so, but it sounded like a lot of hodgepodge to me.
Nothing sounds good to you unless it has an achai or a brick moolich in it. Oh, I ask you, laughing at Shakespeare. Go on, Richard, read one of Buckingham's speeches.
Okay. It will help me nothing to plea my innocence, for the dye is on me which makes my whitest part black.
Huh? Oh, Mrs. Lyon, did you bring the chamois?
Oh, I forgot. I'll go and get you one right away.
Thank you kindly.
Go on, Richard. Read the rest of the speech.
Go with me like good angels, and as the long divorce of steel falls on my end... Hey, that can't be right.
Of course it isn't.
Quite. Huh. This is how it should be read. Go with me like good angels to my end. And as the long divorce of steel falls on me, make of your praying one sweet sacrifice and lift my soul to heaven.
Oh, so that's what it means.
That was magnificent, Mr. Braddock.
Simply beautiful.
Hi, it was. Did I miss something?
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Mr. Lyon, if you were of the real theater, you would appreciate my rendition.
Now, just a minute. My husband has done very well in the theater.
Yeah, perhaps. But there's a vast difference between us. You see, for years, I've been attached to the old Vic.
Well, my husband's a very good friend of his, too.
Now, look, Mr. Braddock. If it's all the same to you, I'd like to get on with my rehearsal.
Then, perchance, it would be better if I return tomorrow.
Must you go?
My dear lady, an actor knows when to make an exit. Farewell.
Farewell.
What a pity he couldn't have stayed. He could have helped Richard with his lines.
I'm sure Richard doesn't want to be coached by an old ham.
Well, sure I do. Go ahead, Pop.
Thanks.
Here's a list of everybody appearing in the play. I thought you'd like to look it over.
Oh, good.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, Mr. Braddock, the window cleaner's here.
Not again.
Aye, he's in the kitchen. He wants to know if he can come in here and do the living room window.
No, we're too busy. Tell him he can carry on in the kitchen. if that's all right with you.
Well, I don't mind them cleaning the windows, but I'm not going to put up with any carryings on.
Maggie, thou art a Lorna Doone buffoon.
Well, I don't mind as long as you have a good part for me in the show.
Oh, you can play Anne of Cleves if you like.
Oh, Aggie, you think you can handle a German queen?
Yeah, I will do and say mine best.
This is going to be some show.
Hey, Barbara, I thought I was playing the Duke of Buckingham and another part, too.
Well, you are. How would you like to play the executioner?
Well, okay, but I don't see how I'm going to cut off my own head.
Who's playing Jane Seymour?
Well, I am, Daddy.
Then that leaves only two more roles to fill, the Lord Chamberlain and the Duke of Norfolk.
Oh, Ben, I've got to tell you. Florrie said she can't rehearse until after lunch.
Oh, then we'd better start with scene one, you know, the antechamber in the palace. Now, Bibi, will you read the Duke of Norfolk?
Oh, all right.
Now, Buckingham enters and speaks first. Go ahead, Richard.
Good morrow and well met. How have ye done since last we saw in France?
I thank you, Grace. Healthy, and ever since a fresh admirer. Oh, what I saw.
Oh, you go far?
Well, let some graver eye pierce into that. But I can see his pride peeking through each part of him. Whence has he that?
I think we should arrange to have them both executed before the play.
Oh, come on, let's try it again.
Okay, but it's awfully stuffy in here. Do you mind if I open a window first?
Good idea. Your acting needs all the fresh air it can get.
Funny girl.
What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what are you doing out there?
I stand before your window pane, perchance to clean.
Look, Mr. Braddock, I'd be grateful if you'd close the window and let us carry on with our rehearsals.
Say no more.
Daddy, you shouldn't upset Mr. Braddock. Good window cleaners are hard to find nowadays.
Yes, I had a hard time finding him.
Well, next time get a window cleaner who concentrates on his work. If I want Sir Laurence Olivier, I'll ask him over.
Don't you dare. It would cost a fortune to have him clean our window.
Honey, please. Now, come on, Richard. Your opening speech.
Good morrow.
Oh, Mrs. Lyons.
Yes, Aggie?
Wee Nicky James wants to know if she can watch your rehearsal.
Oh, of course she can.
Now, send her in.
Well, if she's coming in, I'm going out.
Go on in, Nicky, dear.
Thank you, Aggie. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Nicky.
Hello, Richard.
Say hello, Richard, dear.
Hello, Richard, dear.
Sit down, Nicky.
I can't, Mr. Lan. Mommy said I could only stay a minute. Do you think I could have a part in your play?
Nicky, don't you think you're a little young to be an actress?
Oh, I don't know. We all have to start acting sometime, don't we, Nicky?
Yes. Maybe you and I can start together, Mr. Lan.
Thanks. Well, Barbara, think we can find a part for Nicky?
Oh, of course. She can play one of the pages at court. Would you like that, Nicky?
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful. Goodbye.
Well, now perhaps we can get on with the rehearsal. Perchance.
Pop, it's not perchance. It's perchance.
Look who's correcting me.
Well, Daddy, everything's set now. All we need is somebody to play the part of the Lord Chamberlain.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
If you don't close that window, you're going to get a rude answer.
Do not raise your voice to me, you bold varlet.
What was it? What was that?
He called your father an old violet.
Culture is rampant today.
Daddy, I've got a wonderful idea. Oh, Mr. Braddock.
Yes, dear lady?
I wonder if you'd condescend to play the part of the Lord Chamberlain in our show.
Barbara.
Oh, yes, Mr. Braddock. You read Shakespeare so beautifully.
Brilliantly is more the word.
Have you ever heard such conceit?
Please say you will, Mr. Braddock.
I shall be delighted.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Thank you. Say no more. You'll give your production tone to have a professional in the cast.
Well, what do you think I am?
Generosity forbid me from answering that question. I shall return within the hour.
Oh, Dad. Daddy, we've been rehearsing for hours. Can't we have a break?
No, not until I get some semblance of acting out of you.
Oh, Ben, I think you're being very unfair. You just let me flounder around without giving me any help. And you know jolly well I have a very big role.
You have several of them.
Come, come. Let not this be the winter of our discontent. I suggest we resume rehearsal. And this time, let us do scene 3. The scene is set in the council chamber.
Oh, if you don't mind, I'll take it from here. Now, Florrie, you're sitting on the throne. Now. Now, use that armchair by the fireplace.
Very well.
And, Nicky, dear, you're in the scene, too.
Oh, good. I'll give it everything I've got.
Yes, I'm sure you will. Now, we'll pick up the scene where the Lord Chamberlain speaks to Jane Seymour.
Lady Jane, has the king this day visited Her Majesty?
Nay, me lord, and I doubt if he will come within, for he has been with Anne Boleyn.
Alas, I am a woman, friendless, hopeless.
Good queen, your liege approaches.
Odds bodikins. Now shall my doubts be put to the test.
Oh, Florrie, you can do better than that.
Oh, Ben, I'm sorry, but the first part of that line is very difficult to read.
It is?
Yes. Would you mind if I drop my bodikins?
Florrie, please. The audience would think the curtain was coming down.
Don't try me too far, Ben Lyon. It's been a very long day, and I'm even more tired than your jokes.
Now, never mind. You'll be through in a few seconds, then you can go home.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Go ahead, Florrie.
Odds bodikins, now shall my doubts be put to the test.
Good people, back way. The king is without.
Fanfare. Oh, yes, that's a fanfare. Then I enter. Here I come. How now, Catherine? What sayest thou? Ha!
Huh? Speak it here. Where have you been?
Strolling in the garden with a winsome wench. Ha! Huh?
Which winsome wench?
Stay your prattling tongues and leave me. I would wish to be alone.
Does that mean I can go home, Ben?
Oh, for heaven's sakes. All right, go home.
Oh, thank goodness. Come along, Nicky. I'll take you home, too.
Thank you, Mrs. Wainwright. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Nicky. Sorry, dear. Now then, Bibi, when the court is empty, you enter.
All right. But I'll keep my script. I can't remember these lines.
Well, you better learn them before the opening night.
I'll try. Lo, who comes here?
Ah, sweet Anne, the fairest hand I ever touched. To you I plight my troth.
Mr. Lyon, surely that should be, to you I plight my troth.
Mr. Braddock, it's my troth and I'll plight it any way I like.
Very well, if that's the way you feel.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Oh, come on now, Ben.
Sweet Anne, my love for you will last until it's as old as the stars. And there's nothing older than a star.
Indeed. And there are millions of them up there tonight.
Wouldst thou ever play false and have another lover in thy boudoir?
Yes, but not with thee I wouldn't.
And wouldn't thou then get married and have many children?
Only with you, beloved, only you.
Richard, that's where the executioner enters.
Okay. Your Majesty, you sent for me?
Yes, I would rid me of Queen Catherine and many others.
Would you care to make out your chopping list?
Richard, that's not in the script.
I know, but I thought I might get a laugh. Don't you think it's funny?
No.
Well, I only axed.
Oh, Richard, cut it out.
Now, stop it, both of you. Now, Richard, I want you to make your entrance again, and this time, stick to the script.
Before he does, may I make a comment?
No.
Well, really. When you're ready to apologize, you'll find me rehearsing in the dead.
Daddy, how could you talk like that to a great artist from the Stratford Memorial Theater?
If you ask me, the nearest he ever got to that theater was cleaning the windows of Anne Hathaway's cottage.
Pop, are you jealous? Perchance?
No, I'm not. And just one more perchance out of you, and I'll give you a perchance in the pants.
Say no more. Say no more.
theater's almost filled. Isn't it wonderful?
I'll tell you later when the play's over.
Greetings, fair ladies. How lovely you look in your costume.
Oh, hello, Mr. Braddock. Thank you.
Hey, Ma, have you seen Pop?
Well, he was in his dressing room 15 minutes ago.
Well, he isn't there now, and I've looked everywhere for him.
Well, well, how very strange.
Mr. Braddock, have you done something to my father?
Why should I do anything to him?
Open your beginners, please.
Now, where is Ben?
Don't worry, Mrs. Lyon. The show must go on. And believe me, it will be much better without...
Without what?
Without delay. Good luck, ladies.
Still can't find my husband.
Oh, don't worry, Mrs. Lyon. He's too big to have disappeared into thin air.
I know, but it's not like him. He's got to make his entrance in a few minutes.
Hey, Ma, do you think Pop could have left the theater?
No, dear. All the doors are locked. Your father always does that as soon as the audience are in.
Well, if you ask me, that Mr. Braddock's been up to something. He's looking awfully pleased with himself.
Shh. They're starting the big scene now.
How now, Queen Catherine? Speak you.
Alas, Jane Seymour, I am a woman, friendless, hopeless. Oh, woe is me, for I am undone.
Good queen, your liege approaches.
What, bodikins, now shall my doubts be put to the test.
Good people, make way, the king is without.
Nicky, Daddy's not here yet. Keep on talking.
All right. Yay, verily the king is without the horse. So he'll be jolly late, of course.
Odds bodikins, now shall my doubts be put to the test.
Good queen, your liege is walking backwards.
What? Odds bodikins, now shall my doubts be put to the test. Oh, shut up!
Thank goodness, here he comes.
Ah, how now, sweet queen?
Where the devil have you been?
I have been locked in the royal powder room.
Your scene with King Henry is next, Ma.
I know, dear.
Speak it here. Where have you been?
Stay your prattling tongues and leave me. I would be alone.
I hope I can remember my lines.
You've only got three. There are millions of them up there every night. Mm-hmm. Not with thee, I wouldn't. And only you, beloved, only you.
Yes.
I got that?
Yes, I remember now.
Good luck, Mom.
Thanks, dear, thanks. Lo, who goes there?
Ah, sweet Anne, the fairest hand I ever touched. To you I plight my troth.
How now?
Sweet Anne, my love for you will last until it is as old as the stars. And there is nothing older than a star.
Only you, beloved. Only you.
Wouldst thou ever play false and have another lover in thy boudoir?
Indeed. There are millions of them up there tonight.
Phoebe. And wouldst thou then get married and have many children?
Yes, but not with thee, I wouldn't.
Watch it.
Farewell, sweet prince. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Goodness sakes. Send for the executioner.
Your Majesty, you wish to see me?
Yea, Queen Catherine approaches. Stay by my side. I may have need of thee.
Henry, you have deceived me. Why did you take yon wench into the garden today and make love under my very nose?
'Twas the only shady spot I could find.
That evil woman has cast a spell on your senses. Methinks you have lost your head.
And methinks if you rouse my anger, you shall lose yours. Executioner, show the queen the sharpness of your blade.
Yes, your Majesty. See, I raise my axe. Watch how it bites into the ground when I strike. So!
Richard, you fool! You've pinned Flory's train to the floor.
Huh? Henry, I will listen to no more of your threats. Forthwith, I shall to my chamber.
Quiet!
Poor Queen Catherine. I fear her end is in sight.
Father's dressing room, dear.
I've never been so humiliated in all my life.
Well, at least you made history. I'd say tonight is the first time Henry VIII has ever been murdered.
Everything was going fine until Daddy was late for his entrance.
Well, yes, what happened to you, Pop?
Well, Mr. Braddock locked me in the... he locked me in.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, believe me, I'm deeply sorry for what I did.
Then why did you do it?
Your father called me an amateur.
I should have called you a phony.
That is equally untrue.
Well, Ben, something wonderful has happened. Mr. Beamish, the director of the Memorial Theatre in Stratford, is coming backstage to see you.
Good. I'm sure Mr. Braddock will be very interested in seeing him.
I'll go and wait for Mr. Beamish, Daddy.
Mr. Lyon, this is most embarrassing. I would rather not see him.
I thought you wouldn't.
You don't understand. You see, the last time I appeared at Stratford, I had a very unhappy romance with Juliet, so I left.
Of all the cock and bull stories.
Oh, Daddy, this is Mr. Beamish.
Oh, how do you do, sir? This is an unexpected honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lyon. I came back to talk to you about Robert. Hello, William.
Huh?
Oh, how wonderful to see you again.
You mean you know Mr. Braddock?
Know him, my dear young man. Robert Braddock Francis is one of the finest Shakespearean actors in the country.
Well, Daddy, your mouth is open.
I know. I opened it.
Now, close it.
Robert, I've been looking everywhere for you. I need you at Stratford next season.
Oh, that's impossible. You know why I can't go back.
Oh, yes. But what you don't know is the girl loves you.
What?
Yes. But you rushed off before she had the chance to tell you.
What manner of idiot am I?
Oh, what difference does it make what kind?
Mr. Braddock, I think perchance I owe you an apology.
My dear fellow, it is human to err.
Now he's dropping his H's.
Well, that reminds me, Mr. Lyon, about your production of Henry VIII.
Look, Mr. Beamish, we already know how bad it was.
On the contrary, I'd like to book it for Stratford.
You mean Stratford-on-Avon?
No. Stratford Empire.
Oh, terrific.
What would you say to that, Mr. Lyon?
Oh, all right.
Oh, Ben, I could kiss you for that.
Beebe, send for the executioner.
That was Life with the Lyons, with Beanie Daniels and Ben Lyon, with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Sarah O'Connor, Gordon Little, and Wilfred Babbage. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Bob Block, Ronnie Hanbury, and Beanie Daniels wrote the script, and the production was by Tom Ronald.